and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. A big, big show coming up. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America to co-host Right Wing World next hour. The best columnist in the world, the New York Times' Frank Rich, coming up. And we finally shamed actress Elizabeth Perkins into coming on the show by whining incessantly that she has not come on the show yet. All right, so a big, big show. And, well, you know, it's Wednesday. You know what that means.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that? God. Heavy breathing I hear. Why? Could it be? The hump day. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Good morning, Hal.
Hello.
You're the only person that's walked in here, seen my sex sling that someone sent for me to do the show in now that my foot's broken and my back's going out, and you know the girl in the sex swing on the box.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Met her a couple times.
You, of all the people in the world, you would be the one I would guess would know the girl in,
yeah,
in the sex sling.
Don't know who the dude is.
No. Well, his back is to us.
Right. She's rather prominently featured, though, in a couple of the shots, I will
seriously?
Admit.
Seriously? How do you know her? Who is she?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may incriminate me, but it is indeed a fact that I know this.
Is she an actress of some sort?
Of some sort?
Yes.
Does she primarily work in the Valley as opposed to...
Yes, I would believe that most of the locations and yes, production companies that she is employed by, in general,
one would
do
think
most of their shooting,
right,
in and around the northern,
the San Fernando,
the western part of the San Fernando Valley,
Valley area.
Yes,
uh-huh. Yeah, because I'm just guessing that you would have to be employed in, you know, in some industry. Being the girl on the sex swing box would not be a shock to people.
Well,
like, your mother wouldn't be in Walmart and go, oh, dear.
Why did we have to bring my mom up? How did that
dear
happen?
Oh, why?
She's very attractive.
Yeah, she is. She's, yeah.
From, well, what you can see of her, yeah.
Well, she's, by the way, for the record, fully clothed.
Not on the other side of the box.
Oh, yeah? Mm.
All right, anyway.
Yeah,
hi,
is
Hal.
Yes, she is. She
I'm down can't here. Am I on the Hal cam? I'm down here on my chaise lounge, of
you
course.
You will be in just one moment.
Because
yes,
I'm, as you know, an elderly shut-in that is currently disabled from a broken foot and a, what do you call it, a bad back. Yeah. Are you going to be doing the infomercial on my mobility scooter at some point?
Yes.
That was
okay,
a big hit last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
No question. I'll be riding your scooter today, as it were.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Yeah.
All
you
right.
Betcha.
So lots to get to. You know what you've missed, Hal, is for some reason we stumbled into 70s wuss rock on the show. I don't. I think it started because you played Bread.
Chris,
we cannot get
Bread
the earworms. Let's, out of our. Larry has a Wuss Rock submission. We had forgotten All by Myself by Eric Carmen. Why were men so whiny in the 70s? Why so needy and clingy and whiny? And
when I was young,
oh dear God,
I never needed anyone.
Actually, this has a good melody. I mean, it has good production and good harmony.
The vast majority of these were, let's be honest,
Feelings was an awful song.
All right, a lot of people were awaiting Hal's return because, you know what, he brings the antidote. He brings the heavy metal.
Operation Commando Eagle.
It's an eagle without underpants.
Eagle without underpants.
Hal's
as the
boy
Chinese
music
would say, it's like plucking a feather from an iron rooster.
So you've been tweeting like nobody's business. You're all fired up and ready to go this morning.
Tweeting like my business. I was quite this morning on the Morning and the Joe.
Morning Joe on MSNBC.
What
does Charlie Pierce call it? Squint in the empty sweater.
Yeah, or Squint in the meat puppet.
I will say that most of the time, especially lately, Mika has been really picking up the slack put there by sort
right
of the idiocy that, you know, the void that's created by the existence of Pat Buchanan.
Yes. Who we were saying yesterday, perhaps not so much go to Pat on the race issues.
Computer says no.
Maybe, yeah, especially
maybe not
when,
the best when he, spokesperson.
When last summer the man wrote a op-ed completely
yes
unprovoked about how it wasn't Hitler's fault He had to invade Europe because Europe made him.
Yes.
He didn't want to. He was pushed into it.
He was prodded. Yes.
I was just over here cooking some things, and then all of a sudden they wanted me to kill everyone.
Yes. Did Hitler just have a Jewish accent in that rendition?
Well, yes. Well, he was Jewish.
The
point being is that Pat and basically they had Governor Christie from New Jersey, a Republican congressperson, and this right-wing blogger all on there arguing that we overpay teachers. And then at the same time...
Oh, I think anyone can agree with that, those big fat contracts.
Totally.
I mean, sports guys are just doing sports till they can get into teaching.
Exactly.
For those sort of salaries.
Oh, you remember in school when your teacher would break out the caviar and be, you know, carousing
God, yes.
in their top hat? It was just maddening. I want to be rich like you one day.
They all wore top hats and monocles, yes. Uh-huh.
And then just no one answered it. No one delivered any kind of conversation to
By the way, a little peek behind the curtain into Hal and Mai's private life. This is exactly what it's like at home when he stays with me. He's pretty much ignoring me and playing with his iPad.
Yeah.
He's not even looking at me. He's
I beg your pardon, you're on my laptop. I've been bringing you up on camera so everyone can see you in your gimpy, loungy... Your limousine liberal lounger.
Can you see my mobility scooter behind me?
Yes. Mm. We'll be riding that later on in the show.
All right.
You know what I mean?
All right.
And by the way, we have to show the sex sling on
there
the,
she is. The There's Hal's friend from the valley.
Wait, hold on. That's a better shot of her.
All right.
That's a very vivid shot.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Right. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Julie did with bad news for Victor the Victory Elephant.
Oh.
Remember? Oh, that was one of our happiest moments ever. Remember we left the Republican convention? They were already at the airport selling their mascot, Victor the Victory Elephant, for like half price at the airport?
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. In a sad little bin. Little irregular Victor the Victory Elephant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like at Champion Sports, they're just like, you know, they sewed over one eye. Just poor Victor. Things just already weren't looking good. They were just like, oh, we nominated Grampy. Yeah, it's not going to happen.
So Victor still exists?
I don't, probably. Who knows what the mascot is this cycle. But Julie writes, hi, Mama. Suck it up, boner and yurtle. I got your GOP midterm landslide right here. Gallup reports the generic Democratic versus Republican ballot has run 48-44 in favor for Democrats for 2 weeks now. This is the first time either party has held an advantage of that size for two consecutive weeks. So it's entirely possible we could keep our Democratic majorities and ensure we will continue to make some progress on a thing or two. Even if that holds up, we could still lose because it seems more Republicans are planning on voting, while the Kyles among us, not so much. Republicans continue to be more enthusiastic about voting, which is why we have Happy Clappy Liberal, Hal Sparks, here with
right.
us on
well,
Wednesdays.
Let's be abundantly clear that really none of the major campaigning has started officially from the Democratic side, and they apparently launched yesterday a 100-day strategy leading up to the election that meant that the plan is to go after the GOP for 10 days or 15 days on five or six different issues, and specifically putting them, how would you be any different from George Bush?
I was just going to say, first of all, they have no position,
right.
So that's a plus in our favor.
When you get into office, what will you do differently than George Bush did? Because this is clearly what got us into this mess. What would you do that was any different than what he did? And,
right.
And clearly there is none. The only minor change might be their sort of desire to keep the Afghanistan war going for another 35 years, which I think
I was
going
to say, it is a little sad that the only thing we've been able to agree largely on or get done is war in Congress.
Totally.
Yeah, even though obviously more and more Democrats are starting to vote against it. It's like, oh, that's the only thing we can get done. That's all we can all agree on is we should stay in these two endless wars.
Right. Well,
yeah.
War is the new tough on crime.
Right.
But it's become abundantly clear over time that the tough on crime stance doesn't work.
Yeah.
Tough on criminals is what it actually is.
Yes.
It should be renamed because.
So yeah. Let me say, I've seen some glimmers of light already in this election cycle. One of them out here, because when I just moved back to California, I was like, what? In what universe can one of our finest senators, Senator Boxer, lose to some woman that ran a company into the ground, got fired, outsourced thousands of jobs, left with a golden parachute?
Yes.
Well, it turns out Carly Fiorino's lead.
so yesterday.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Barbara Boxer expanding her lead out here in California. Yeah. Independent voters have turned against Carly Fiorina over the last 2 months. In the result, with the result of Barbara Boxer expanding her lead 49% to 40 in the California Senate race after holding just a 45-42 advantage 2 months ago, Fiorina wasn't particularly well liked before the primary. Yeah. Now they like her even less. Just 28% of Californians have a positive opinion of her. Oh, Carly. Why? She seems so likable.
And it's interesting. I wonder if Meg, who's running on the same kind of mechanics, will basically that Carly will be a bit of a ballast around her neck, because they're kind of both running as these, we're professional women who used to run
and they hate each other
poorly.
Oh, yeah. Do they?
It's awkward.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was something. What happened during the primary? There was something that was a little awkward. I can't remember what.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yes.
Oh. Which would be great if they were both in office, wouldn't it? Because California doesn't have enough problems.
Yeah.
Not as awkward as what's happening in Colorado. With Tom Sancredo getting in the race. Tee-hee. And yes, doing more Republican bashing than we could ever hope to do. Hee-hee.
This is what happens when they try to go all Tea Party on each other and then actually have to govern.
Yes. Well, A, they're electing, what's the word I'm looking for? Crazy people.
Yes.
In many places, they're nominating crazy people. And then
racist, misogynistic, homophobic crazy people.
Yes. Yes.
They're not aimlessly crazy.
We will tell you the Colorado story when we get back. Hilarious. I love the whole storyline. Democrats are in disarray. Wait till you hear what's happening in Colorado. Oh, heavens. All right, because Denver is the city by the bay, and we love them. 17 minutes after the hour.
We love you, Denver! City by the bay!
Mm-mm. 17 minutes after the hour, right back. More Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. In the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks? I just lopped off his S.
Yes.
1-800-STEP-12.
That's all right. One giant spark.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Oh, dear. Hal was in a Target frenzy during the break. I had no idea. This Target story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the head of the CEO of Target came out with this kind of sad, semi-apology about the fact that they've been supporting this anti-gay governor, gubernatorial candidate in Minnesota, and they're basically saying, we only put money towards things that advance our business interests, which, let's be real clear, if it's retail, it's anti-union. That's one of their big business interests.
Well, and let me just say, I knew there was trouble when they got rid of Mizrahi. That's the only reason I went to Target to get my fabulous Mizrahi tops.
But they still have Michael Graves.
Knock it off. So So they gave $150,000 to Minnesota Forward, which is all of, from Tim Pawlenty's or administration, all these outgoing Republican people from him. And it's basically, the main guy they've been supporting is very anti-gay. And they do it kind of like, well, we only do that because, you know, it's our business interest. The other stuff he does is okay by us.
The gay bashing's just, you know.
Yeah, it's just a little sideline thing. Yeah. You know, what if a certain group of Americans won't get the same rights as everyone else specifically? We got to make sure that you can't form a union.
Exactly.
Absurd.
All right. Christopher, get out of my comedy music, please. Hal, you know the storyline. Democrats are going to take a beating, blah, blah,
I've
blah.
I've heard that.
Case in point.
Yes.
Colorado.
Tea
and then a he. Colorado commotion could dim Republican hopes. Rhetorical brawl erupts as Maverick joins governor's race. Tom Tancredo, T, and then a he.
He's going to be a good time.
Yeah. If Republicans wake up on November 3rd to find their majority making hopes dashed, they might be looking to a state like Colorado for evidence of opportunities missed. Because that's one of those states that's, you know, that Obama took, right?
Yes.
At the beginning of this midterm cycle, Colorado offered the GOP just the kind of scenario it was looking for to reverse the Democrats' victories both in the state and nationwide from 2006 to 2008. But a summer of pandemonium. Why, they're calling it pandemonium, Hal. Within the GOP has produced a much different picture just 2 weeks before the August 10th primary.
To quote Ronnie Dangerfield, now I know why tigers eat their young. And there's an element.
Consider these recent events. Republican Senate candidate Ken Buck.
Rhymes with?
Yes.
Well, he's bucking the Tea Party, as it were.
Is that who you are? What you do?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. He had to apologize for deriding the Tea Party movement members to question whether President Obama was really born in the United States.
Yeah, he called them dumbasses.
Yes, he called them dumbasses. They're the ones that got him elected. Buck and GOP rival Jane Norton have exchanged in a gender-laced exchange of insults. Have you seen these?
Yes.
These tapes?
Yeah, his
Norton questioned whether Buck is not man enough to criticize her directly. Buck mocking Norton for her high heels. It's festive over there. A plagiarism scandal has inflicted a possibly fatal wound on the candidacy of Republican gubernatorial frontrunner Scott McGinnis. Bye-bye. On Monday, a raucous quarrel erupted on a Denver talk station between state Republican Chairman Dick Wadhams. He's named Dick Wadhams.
What is it with...
His name is Dick Wadhams.
We're the Republican Party. We only elect guys with really masculine names and women who do what
Dick
they're
Wadhams.
Told.
And former Representative Tom Tancredo, who is jumping into the governor's jury, says a third-party candidate after McInnes and Mays refused to make way for him. In the radio brawl, which at one point featured a barking dog in the background, Tancredo said Wadhams, the aforementioned Dick Wadhams.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Is that a made-up name?
It should be.
Tancredo said
Wait, let me check the Sportsheets Door Jam Sex Sling box to see if that might be the name of the guy actually on the box. I'm fairly sure that's Dick Wadhams.
Tancredo said Wadhams had privately told him that McInnes was untrustworthy and Mays was a joke. Tancredo said to Wadhams, you dislike them both. You don't trust either one. And Wadhams denied saying this. Each man then called the other a liar as the host of the program jumped in to side against the party chairman. Tancredo's entry as a third-party candidate seems likely to pave a path to victory for Democratic candidate Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, whose name is John Hickenlooper. And he still looks poised to win over Tom Tancredo. Against the express wishes of the Dick Wadhams.
Dick Wadhams.
And what the analysis in the article is saying, this has the potential to hurt GOP and other races statewide across Colorado. Go, Tom Tancredo! Go, Tom!
Yes.
Okay. And that concludes.
Gingrich Tancredo 2012.
Yes.
Woo! Oh, Sarah Palin is as their potential Secretary of State.
Rock and roll.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know what? The Republican potential for the White House is starting to look more like a sitcom version of the White House. The future, you know what I mean?
Right,
like,
Newt and Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, really? That's the best you got?
Oh, God. Please run them. Please let that be what they run.
Yeah.
Please. I mean, because they're going to try for this Scott Brown, Mitt Romney, cowboy thing where they're both on a horse together, shirtless.
Great hair. They've become the party of great hair, and that's it.
Scott Brown's not going to win anything. He is pissing off the people of Massachusetts left and right, especially the Tea Partiers that allegedly got him into office.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
But, he knows what side of the, bread his butter is on, and you can't run Tea Party way, direction with that state. You just can't.
Yeah.
You can get elected that way because everybody's
staying
home.
Angel is a Senator Fold, and that's the important thing.
Senator.
We have perhaps one problem on our side in the Charlie Rangel.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with that? So they're obviously trying to make a deal with him before the, this whole ethics investigation goes further. Charlie Rangel ethics.
I'm looking for a resolution of the very serious allegations that have been made against me, and for almost 2 years I've been waiting for an opportunity to respond.
Went on to talk about Nancy Pelosi, the boner yesterday.
And it's one of the biggest broken promises from Speaker Pelosi and her team, who promised to drain the swamp. The fact is, the swamp has not been drained.
Ugh. Yeah, well,
Apparently not.
Yeah.
First of all,
or
you know, everyone is entitled to a full investigation, and you know, he has an opportunity to handle it how he wants. I mean, I think it'll hurt us politically, but nothing's been proven yet. That's the whole point of an investigation. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You know, my dad is a lot more fun after a few beers. Maybe
Stephanie Miller.
It would be nicer if we Irish up her coffee.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, in the midst of the hump days with the Hal. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America coming up. He was just at Netroots. Yep. He will be co-hosting A Rollicking Right-Wing World. And then Frank Rich, the best columnist in the
ever.
World.
Yes.
Ever in the world. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. David in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. Can't wait to see you in Seattle.
Are you going?
Yeah.
To the big town hall, the big progressive extravaganza?
I saw you the last time, but I ran right into you right after you came out of the bathroom. But I don't think you remember me. But
you were trying
anyways,
to follow me into the bathroom. Good.
Perfect. The reason why the swamp can't be drained, this is addressed to Boehner, is that the Bush and Cheney installed so many people right at the end, right up to the very end before Barack took over. And so I'm so sick of seeing his face every Sunday between he and Mitch McConnell. It just ruins my weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the other thing, David.
Well, you should be working. You shouldn't have a weekend. You should be working.
We keep pointing out that they have no shame. They don't ever resign. Ensign is still hanging in there. Hooker Vitter is still in there. I mean, you know, they have.
Jeffy, not only that, but the money that's missing in the Pentagon, now that we're talking about that again. Remember when we first invaded Iraq, they were tossing $100,000 box of money around like footballs.
Yeah. $9 billion it turned out to be. And this is almost an identical number.
Yeah.
It's
fascinating. That is the number.
It's weird. Curious. Exactly. Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I don't know if you, we mentioned that yesterday. The Defense Department unable to properly account for $8.7 billion, actually, if you're counting.
95%.
Out of $9.1 billion in Iraqi oil revenue entrusted to it between 2004 and 2007.
Huh.
Oh, yes, I remember that period.
Who was president during that? I forget.
The fiscal conservatives were in the power there. They were so good with the money, as you recall.
Yes. This is before those loose Dems came in and started.
Who was it that said
the
Iraqi oil would pay for the whole Iraq war? Which Bushy was that? I forget.
All of them?
All of them.
Looks like maybe it went directly into his, I don't know, bank account, actually, is where maybe that went.
You know, we'll find out later on. It was used to purchase electronic voting machines.
I love this, though there is no apparent evidence of fraud.
What?
Oh, yeah, that just happens all the time. It just goes missing, about $9
billion. Well, that's the money would be the evidence, and since it's missing, there's no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That's like a, you know,
the improper accounting
no body,
practices
no murder.
Add to the pattern of mismanagement, reckless spending, and in some instances, corruption uncovered since 2004. That seems curious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like there might have been some malfeasance involved.
Well, it's almost like they had a bill come due, and it's the exact same amount every year. Like, oh, I got to pay for my storage space, and it's the same amount of money, you know.
But isn't it ironic midst of them, these Republicans screaming every 2 minutes about money and the deficit and the fiscal discipline, and it's like, didn't any of them say anything about that? No.
No.
No. What? $9 billion, so what?
Yeah. And if you look, you're hurting the troops, even though that money doesn't go anywhere near the troops. As a matter of fact, arguably diverts away from money that could support the troops.
That's right.
Exactly.
But it's, you know, they made a really good case. Chris Hayes made a really good case on Rachel Maddow's show.
It's Rachel.
Last night,
that's
Rachel Maddow's
different
show
people.
Last night. Meaning that, basically saying that money for war is magic money, and money for teachers is real money. If you want to provide money for schools, you've got to cut something else to get that money. If you want to provide money for
Well, I mean, I think if nothing else from these WikiLeaks, we weren't learning, you know, that you're right, that's the political wisdom, like that money's sacrosanct. It's like, no, it's not.
Well, and it also comes from nowhere.
It's going into a black hole that's creating nothing except a mess.
Well, it's all debt. I mean, it comes from, literally, we're firing Chinese bullets in all of these, in all through Afghanistan, all through Iraq.
What does this mean? Oh, the actual bullets made into, got it, okay.
Bullets are paid for with Chinese money because the money is borrowed to, you know, because war money is, they just kind of grab it from wherever.
Right.
And then they go, we're putting our children in debt for the future. They never said this during the Iraq and the Afghanistan lead up.
Yep.
None of them said, well, this war, how much is this actually going to cost? Because we're going to have to leverage it on our children's futures.
Right. I love that Denis Kucinich is one of the, you know, the real truth tellers in our our political world. And everyone always is like, oh, well, he's crazy. He could never be president. And then you see him on TV, you're going, no, that makes perfect sense.
Pakistan intelligence collaborating with the Taliban against the U.S. The Pentagon understating the firepower of the insurgents. A top Pakistani general visiting a suicide bombing school monthly. Today, vote against the supplemental.
Yeah.
We got, what, 100, there was something, 100 and something votes against, I guess. But
It was 100, I want to say 120, 114 votes against, two of which were Republican. The 112 were Democrats.
Yep.
And it's really starting to shift. There was 80 originally. It's growing.
Our friend Barbara Lee, wasn't she the only lawmaker that voted against Afghanistan originally?
The first time. Yeah.
She's starting to look more and more.
Yeah.
In retrospect, you know, because you look back and you do get it. I mean, there was so much emotion after 9/11, and you're like, they, you know, Al-Qaeda group there, that's where they attacked us, blah, blah, blah. But, you know.
Which is really
the more right. The more we've gone on and on, you kind of go, yeah, but they were from Saudi Arabia, and wait a minute, why are we still there? How many years later? And
yeah, I'll tell you why we're there right now, because we're fighting a war in Pakistan. We're using Afghanistan as a staging area, because quite frankly, the problem is most countries have an army.
Yeah, well, I'm not a general, but it may not be a good idea to give money to your enemy then.
So, right. Well, Pakistan,
here is bags of money so that you can go help the Taliban kill us here.
The problem with Pakistan is it's an army with a government as opposed to a government with an army.
Yeah.
That has to be the worst military idea since the British decided standing straight in a line in bright red coats was a good military strategy.
Right.
Well, they'll never be able to find us here.
That was gentleman's war back then.
Yeah, it was.
Look, we came here to outnumber you and kill you.
We're in bright colors where we can see you and kill you more
quickly. Stand still so we can shoot you and your family.
But
you are brown.
But that's also when, you know, every time you shot your gun, you had to take it out, you had to put more gunpowder in, shove a bullet
in
there.
Don't charge yet, I'm still loading.
How did anyone survive that? It's like, oh, here he goes, he's pulling out the musket.
Those Kentucky long riflemen hiding in the trees.
With today's guns, we've killed you 75 times already before you even got that.
That's technology.
All right, Representative Barbara Lee yesterday on the war funding.
While evidence continues to mount that our military engagement in Afghanistan has become a quagmire of corruption and ill-defined objectives, the bill under consideration will provide, if you can believe this, another $37 billion.
Meanwhile, $10 billion would keep every teacher in the country in school for the next 5 years.
He's on a tear for teachers this morning.
Well,
good boy.
It's irritating. I'm sick and tired of this constant drumbeat that we can't just solve a problem by throwing money at it. This is one of the biggest arguments they always have, and they always bring it to education. And we have never in our history thrown money at education in any stretch.
Hey, Pat in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey,
welcome.
Steph and Hal, you guys.
Good.
Hey, listen, over here in Arizona, it's really things are really heating up tomorrow and today. Our Latino brothers and sisters are going to show us Americans what we've forgotten how to do. They're going to take it to the street over here.
Right.
And put some heat on these corrupt officials, our racist Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Andrew Thomas, and all these just backward-ass figures over here in Arizona.
Yep.
But, you know, the only way we're going to end this debacle in Afghanistan is take it to the street.
Well, you know,
Obama's going to drag this thing out, Stephanie, just like Bush did forever. He's embraced all the Bush policy.
Let me ask you something about immigration being over there, because I was reading a story, about scores of illegal immigrant families across Phoenix hauling contents of their home into the yard this past weekend as they rushed to sell and get out before state law takes effect.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
good luck selling that fast, first of all.
Well, right, but I mean, my point is, isn't this giving the bigots just, they're like, see, good, it works, see, they're getting out.
Well,
you know, but the problem is they're going to go to surrounding states. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not the way to solve the problem. It's comprehensive immigration reform, isn't it?
That's true, but now the thing is, you have to remember down here is, is as they leave, our economy sinks further and further. So it's a nice, valid form of protest. You know,
yeah, watch the documentary, A Day Without a Mexican.
That's happening right now.
Yeah.
Big time over here. We're going broke so badly, you wouldn't believe it over here. I mean, businesses are being shuttered every day. I'm down in Tucson, and you would think we've had our vacancy rates are skyrocketing.
Right.
We're hurt. Our image of our state has been hurt severely by this. We have all the protests, the boycotts, and, you know.
Yep.
But anyway, hats off to all the Latino community tomorrow. They're going to take it to the street in Phoenix, Arizona, and show us lazy, fat Americans what it's all about, by God.
All right.
Here in Hollywood Nation.
All right.
Yeah, well said. He's absolutely right in that, and we give Europe so much crap. People give France crap in this country, and they give England a lot of crap about their healthcare programs and whatnot. Anytime something happens that is a legitimate concern politically to the people of both those countries, people are out marching. Now, interestingly enough, Americans
Jim Ward says it best, is because we're too busy watching semi-celebrities eat bugs on television.
That's true.
We can't be bothered
with
marching.
And when we do march, we're not shown unless it fits the message that the...
Right.
That
people go, they didn't protest. And there were hundreds of thousands of people in the street against the Iraq War.
There were 600 people standing outside on the day of the signing of the health care bill, standing outside of the Congress protesting it. There were a million people in the streets protesting the Iraq War. And what one got more coverage?
Yep.
The 600 people got
look at the teabaggers.
Wall. That's what I mean.
It's like the constant story.
Wall to wall.
Carl in Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm really nervous.
Don't be nervous. Mama will be so gentle.
Calm me down. You know what? Georgie W. Put the Iraqi war off budget, all the expenses.
Right.
And the drug plan. He also put that off budget. Where exactly is off budget land? Where is that land? And why can't Obama use that off-budget land for a while until we kind of recoup some of this stuff and get back on our feet? It seems like
because he promised to have an honest budget.
Right.
And this is, unfortunately, you're right, this is the thanks he gets.
And these guys get to, by the way, the Republicans, when you keep hearing about how big the budget, you know, how he drove up the cost of government and it's expanded so much, it's strictly because he started putting those things on the books again, saying, look, this is what this actually costs.
And if the Republicans were going to have an honest debate with us, they would at least acknowledge that, but they don't. They're like, my God, look at how did that get there? Look at this deficit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Obama started the Afghanistan war. It's his war now, so every budgetary dollar spent is all his for the last 10 years.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, God. Hal Sparks is pushing his package into the Hal Cam. We're not porn people. We're not valley people here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We are, too.
And if you'd like to see it, it's halsparks.com/Ustream.
Thank you. Well done.
I would bump and grind, too, if I could even stand.
Right. You can limp and
grind.
With
my broken foot.
Limp and grind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new move. It's
you can rock 'em, sock 'em, robot.
You totally can.
That's the Hal Sparks dance. He just moves his upper body like this. So cute.
Again.
51. Well, all right. He says to avoid my flailing limbs.
Yes, because the dancing with you is a little bit like playing Operation. If you touch the sides, you get electrocuted. Ow. Ow.
We will, you know what, America's favorite actress, Elizabeth Perkins, will be here later, and
fantastic.
She was at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party with you and me,
yes.
So she can either confirm or deny your story about my dancing skills.
I would love to have a
skills.
Conversation about your dancing skills with Elizabeth Perkins, actually. That would be lovely.
I think I was doing the Lombada with her husband at one point. I won't bring that up.
And she still is coming on the show?
Yep.
There was a lot of debauchery at that party. Who can keep track of which?
Maybe this didn't go through her. Maybe it went through her people, and she didn't tell them yet.
She'll get her schedule this morning. Yeah. What?
What?
I know.
Whoops.
Oh, by the way, Hal is going to be appearing live here in the Los Angeles area.
Yes, it's
Where?
True. At the Irvine Improv tomorrow
when?
Night. The only show in L.A. scheduled this year. the LA area.
Wow.
So very exciting.
He's going to unleash his Charmageddon offensive.
Absolutely. And then I'm in San Francisco up near the Green 960 folks in a couple weeks, the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st, something like that.
Are all those dates at HowlSparks.com?
They are. What do you know? / calendar. and soon
we are
to be
such an infomercial,
and
really?
Soon
how
to
can
be
we
available
find out more?
On the HowlSparks iPhone app that will be available in, with hopefully within the week.
Wow.
On iTunes.
Why don't I got one of them?
You don't have an iPhone.
Oh. 1-800-STEPH-12.
That's why.
Phone number. Joe in Spokane. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Good morning. Hey, I have breaking news out of the U.S.
Oh.
Senate.
Out of the what?
Out of the U.S. Senate.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Senator Vitter and Ensign are co-sponsoring legislation called the Defense of Adultery Act. It will also be known as the Gingrich-Sanford Bill, and it's supposed to get to really strong Republican support, I hear.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, they all voted for it just by not showing
Joe,
up.
Joe, you heard I have a new dream. You know, the Stephanie Miller Show where dreams go to die. But however, I did offer Rude Pundit $1 million and two sharks with laser beams attached to their head if he will ask David Vitter next time he sees him on the
about
golf course.
The diaper.
Yes.
I heard you ask him that.
Yes.
You know, the thing that amazes me is these people say they are conservative.
Yes.
None of them have ever conserved their wedding vow. So
no.
These
no.
people that say they're conservative, I just don't
yeah.
get it. But
yes.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he David Vitter sat a couple seats behind him and looked really cranky, and I begged Rude Pundit to ask him, did your hooker forget to change your poopy diaper?
Yeah, right.
Just to see.
Somebody's full. You just
somebody's
pat his butt,
full.
Pat his butt and smell his belt line. Just like
damn it, you pay that hooker enough.
Who?
Didn't she change your...
All right. Who does that? I don't... That is... I mean, there's several fetishes I don't get.
Yes, that would be one.
That would be one.
Yes.
Top of the list.
Mm-hmm. John in New Hampshire, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. The diaper part or the what's in the diaper part?
All of the above.
Okay.
All of it.
Diaper
Hi, John.
Situation.
Okay, Don.
Blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
Hi, John. Go ahead. I did it right.
Yeah, he's not, right. He's not there.
Okay, fine.
No, he had to go change his poopy diaper. I'm kidding. He did it. It's fine. But that's an amazing fetish to me. That is just boggles my mind every time. I'm one of those
too.
People who, like, I don't get the schoolgirl thing.
Well, that's why I didn't even get the Larry Craig thing, because I'm like, a public bathroom?
Oh my God.
Fluorescent lighting and stank? Who's...
Well, let's keep in mind...
I'm a chick. I need lighting. I need candles. I need incense.
You need,
I need
gauze over the lens?
Yes!
Look... Men,
who gets romantic in a public bathroom?
Not romantic. They're not looking
for
romance.
Guys aren't looking for romance.
Nobody has ever proposed to anybody in a public bathroom. And if they have, it shows the charity or the desperateness of that woman.
I'm not saying I haven't done it. I'm just saying, Joanne in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. And I'm commiserating with you. I fell the 4th of July. Can't say what I was doing. Broke my elbow.
Oh, dear.
And so it's a lot of things you do with your arms that I can no longer do. But the reason I called, I wanted to ask Hal if Stephanie danced the way Elaine did on the Seinfeld show.
You know what? It's slightly more sexual.
I basically, Joanne, if you've listened before, I don't really dance. I kind of act slutty to music.
Yes.
That's the best I can
do.
Kind
of it's for those of you that are playing the home game, it's reverse cowgirl, but with no person present.
Right. Well, Elaine was doing kind of a herky-jerky reverse dance, Stephanie doing the same thing.
Yeah. Imagine Steph's doing the cable version.
Yeah, I throw the basic cable. I throw a little hip into it.
Yeah,
Elaine
is doing the broadcast television.
Well, thank you for bringing a laugh to my morning, and I hope you get better
soon.
Aw,
thank you, Joanne.
Okay,
you too. I'm not sure what you can't do with your arms that you're used to doing, but all right, whatever, sister. Rock on with your bad self. Go on.
Especially coming off that bathroom discussion. That was odd.
There's a lovely discussion going on in the chat room about whether or not the schoolgirl outfit concept is sexy or not, and you know the play.
I never got that. I, as a Catholic girl, what do you call it? Catholic schoolgirl.
Yeah,
12 years hard time. The ugliest. I don't get it.
I appreciate
the ugly,
a short
these
skirt.
These big plaid jumpers.
I don't care. The association to it having to do with school makes no sense to me. A beautiful girl in a short skirt. Yes, of course, that works fine. But
yes,
I don't
but you weren't really allowed to wear them short, or the nun would beat you at the Board of Education. They had the that was, I remember, the most traumatic morning of my life. My mom put the hem way
the
down
knee.
Without telling me, and I was like, ah, what did you do?
But isn't it like 2 inches above the knee and the whole, like, they're kind of, that's what's odd about it?
I look like an Armenian man, so I was, and it was
that's
plaid,
true.
And it was that's not
true.
Attractive. I don't get it.
Anyways.
By the way, speaking of my mom, we put a, there's an article about my mom in the Charlotte paper.
That's right.
My 87-year-old Republican mom. And we put it up at my Facebook page.
That's right.
Yes, check it out. How do you get there?
There's a link to it at stephaniemiller.com.
Okay, thank you. That's my mom. She's 87. Look how pretty she is. Okay.
Well, her name is also Stephanie Miller, so people are going to think that it's
people
you.
That don't know me are going to be like, wow, she sounds great for 87. That's amazing. All right. What do you call it? Carl Frisch joins us next to co-host a rollicking right-wing world. I'm going to give you a racial fun fact about Fox News, by the way. Guess what percentage of their primetime viewership is African-American?
Oh, I know.
Yes?
You want me to really
go
answer?
Ahead.
1.3.
1.38, actually. It's pretty much Juan Williams, who's on Fox News, and then Larry Elder.
Right,
that's
and
it.
His family,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Who goes, look, I'm going to be on TV again.
Yep. Okay. That's it for us. 58 minutes after the hour. Back with Carl Frisch to co-host Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jim Ward just walked in.
Yes.
And Hump Days with Hal got like 75% humpier.
That's true.
We were discussing during the break, you are anti-lingerie,
yes.
Hal Sparks.
Well, I'm pro-nudity, so I think to me it's just kind of... A waste of time.
I never got that in the 70s. She comes in and all this negligee.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff that had to be taken off.
Just meant to complicate things.
Cut to the chase.
Yeah, right.
Hal said that he's like a 14-year-old boy. He's just like, nipple.
No, I'm like, naked.
Yay, naked girl.
Naked lady.
They have this underwear, but they'd be completely au naturel.
Exactly,
you know?
Right.
Like, wow.
I mean, yeah. It's
somebody fired the gardeners?
And then it segued into a discussion of the girl on the sex wing box who Hal actually knows personally, who works in a
very
an industry in the Valley here in Los Angeles. Films primarily in the Valley.
Hard-working people.
Yeah, and then especially now with Viagra.
Yes.
Jim, with Jim here, it became a discussion about whether she's a natural blonde or not.
Yeah, and she's not.
And, we don't know because the evidence has been destroyed. There is no way, we were saying, there's no way to tell if the carpet matches the drapes, if the carpet has been pulled up, and we're down to hardwood floors. Or polished concrete, as Chris said.
All right. See what I mean about how humpy the show got when Jim got here?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little jolt of testosterone.
He brings out the squeezing, you know, in everybody, I think.
All right, let's dive in. Hey, guess what? Right Wing World is sexist today, too. Let's dive in with Carl Frisch, who's here.
Yay.
Carl.
Carl Frisch.
Exciting.
For Media Matters for America.
Yay.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, I just reported you all to Focus on the Family, I'll have you know.
Thank you. How was Netroots?
It was 110 degrees and very progressive, thank you.
What was the general sense? A general sense of ennui or a je ne sais quoi?
Well, there was some hope. There was some despair. But I think overall people were very happy to be progressive and to have gotten some of what we've asked for and some of what we've hoped for many years. So I think people are excited to be back home and pushing for change again.
Yes, and for more socialism, according to Jim Quinn from the War Room radio show. Here.
Socialism always ends up running out of other people's money eventually.
Mm.
And the only way to save the system, since you don't have the money, is to cut back and ration service. Looking at these kinds of cuts,
which the trusts have drawn up mm-hmm. in such secrecy, it particularly worries me about how far they disadvantage the elderly and uh-huh. the vulnerable. You right. mean the dead wood in society, don't uh-huh. you? Uh-huh. You mean the people that you'd like to get rid of. Excuse me, but this is what Hitler did.
Oh, well, wait for it. Wow. Hitler analogy.
Other yes, people's money is what rich people use.
Mm. Right.
It's not, that's their term for it.
Because, you know, Carl, that's what progressives have always been against, is cutting the dead wood in society, the less fortunate and the mm-hmm. elderly.
Right. Well, uh-huh. Hitler was all about rationing. I'm not sure what a ration is. But
apparently it's something that insurance companies and the financial industry does in great deal.
Oh,
especially
yeah.
Like, I don't know, loans to small businesses, for example, would be a good example of a rationing.
Well, wow. And, you know, liberals have always hated the old, so they gave them Social Security
right,
to make
right.
them live
to
longer
kill them off.
And Medicare. And,
Medicare, yeah.
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 So,
all right. Oh, goodness. Why, looky where Andrew Breitbart is still welcome, along with the Republican National Committee's next event here in L.A. On the Michael Savage program, here is Andrew Breitbart.
I think that it's I'm not going to say I feel bad for President Obama, because I believe that he's orchestrating the campaign to destroy me and my reputation.
Wow.
Andrew, you're fading.
Yeah, Andrew,
yeah,
you have faded.
Literally.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care now. Bye-bye then.
He's orchestrating it by
yeah.
forcing him to edit those tapes.
They put something in my water that makes me screw up and lie.
Wow. I Carl, what world does Andrew Breitbart become the victim in all this?
Breitbartia? It's hard to say. I mean, pretty soon he's going to be forced to launch a website called Big Loser. Right? watching him stutter his way through this scandal, where he's gone from one post to another, changing what he was, you know, why he started this whole thing, from to get rid of this racist woman in the USDA,
right.
to point out the racism of the NAACP, to point out that the Obama administration is after him personally. You know, there's a word for people who feel like the government is out to get them personally.
Yeah.
It's called crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Drug addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh. You know, the president is going on The View tomorrow? I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's it? Yeah. Going
today.
On the. Yes.
Tomorrow.
Which
yes.
gave Rush Limbaugh an opportunity to say something horribly sexist about Joy Behar.
Obama is failing. He certainly is. Obama's out there going to go on The View. He's going to tape an appearance on The View. Dirty little secret is that for every day Obama's in that office, he denigrates it. He becomes less and less presidential with each passing day. And so now he's going to go on his gab fest. I followed through, by the way, sent some knee pads to Maud Behar, FedEx. She ought to get them today in advance of the taping of the show tomorrow.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
Well, in fairness to Rush, he's put those to good use in previous administrations.
They're his golden knee pads.
The ones he used for 8 years of the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Well, they come in handy when you're crawling around on your hands and knees looking for whatever you dropped in the carpet.
Yeah. By the way, yes. How many?
OxyContin.
Exactly. By the way, so did you see how Ed Rendell, Governor Rendell, said he doesn't think he should go on The View? It's not presidential or whatever.
Right.
I don't agree with that. Do you, Carl?
I think whatever the president does ends up being presidential. Now, I'm not saying that he should go on, like, Truth or Dare or, you know, some
the
game
Bachelor.
Show or something. But
right.
But I think if Barbara Walters has her name on something, then, you know, I don't see why the president can't, you know, go on.
Right. He does his weekly address on YouTube every week.
You know, Barbara Walters was the first woman to co-anchor the nightly news. I think the president can stop by.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. I think they will put the JJ talk on pause, don't you, Carl, for at least a day?
Maybe just for a day.
All right. Gambling Bill Bennett on the economy.
You've got a weak recovery now. If these taxes go back up in January, I think this ideological commitment of some people, and I hope the president is wrestling with it, will kill an already weak recovery. If they want to go after Bush so much, on this notion that these tax decreases were harmful, they'll hurt their own cause very badly. I hope they see this wisdom in letting these tax cuts continue into the future to revive this very weak economy.
Oh, so we can have a vibrant economy, Carl, like we did under George Bush, you remember.
Well, you know, he was telling me the exact same thing at the craps table in Vegas.
Let it ride, baby, let it ride.
Daddy needs some new shoes.
If they'd only give me all the money to straighten things out, I could have it done in two or three blackjack hands. So,
But seriously, you hear the same gobbledygook on the economy from these Republicans. Pretty much any economist will tell you that these tax cuts are part of what got us into this economy. It makes no sense, does it? It's like opposite day.
Economists. Math is a liberal bias.
It's like. It's like the Republican congressman the other weekend saying that they wanted to take us back to the Bush years. The more they say that, the louder I want them to say it.
Right. But, I mean, the point is, you know, you can look at any chart or graph, and this president at least has started to reverse the trends from the Bush administration. It literally makes no sense to me, logically, to go, let's go back and do that thing that got us there in the first place. Literally, it's like, oh, the economy's bad, we don't really know why, but now he's going to make it worse. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Steve Hayes on the Brit Bear on the Democrats.
I think the Democrats are in trouble precisely because they don't have much to campaign on.
Oh.
And because we are likely to see in September a big fight over the extension of all of the Bush tax cuts. I think that this is going to be a tough issue for Democrats. You have the White House seemingly obstinate in considering extending the tax cuts for the so-called wealthy at a time when I think they need to do it. It makes sense economically to do it. And economists, I think, are largely in agreement that makes sense.
No.
The so-called wealthy, it's the top 2% of our country. How is that so-called wealthy? It is the wealthy, right?
Because they use so-called math to come up with that, which we know has a so-called liberal bias.
Wow. Speaking of, you know, here's the other thing we keep saying. What is their storyline? Either this is the most activist socialist president in our history, or he hasn't done anything. I mean, they're back to saying they don't have much to campaign on. Are you kidding?
If the progressives and Democrats don't have much to campaign on, then don't Republicans have not much to campaign on,
right,
too?
Yeah.
I thought they wanted to get rid of everything that Obama had done.
Exactly. I know. Which is it? They haven't done anything, or they need to repeal everything? Glenn Beck on the TV.
Have you noticed the trends that we're headed towards? The president told Netroots the change hasn't come quickly enough. What more is there to be done? Have we not given everything he has asked for?
No.
Save us. Save us. We have to save us. Healthcare, done. Stimulus, done. Financial reform, done. Step one is grab control. Grab control of the economy. Grab control of the imperialistic system.
Right.
And then step two is to install a dictator.
Oh, that's the only thing left on our to-do list.
Right.
Dictator.
See, there's an arrow leading right to Hitler and Stalin. It's right here on the board.
I just wish that he would follow step one. I mean, Beck's first step one should be to take his medication every morning.
Yeah.
But he can't even come up with the energy to do that.
He can't get to the rest of the checklist if not. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thanks so much. See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
All right, there he goes. Carl,
you know, what's hilarious about the Republicans talking about tax cuts for billionaires, how that's going to save the economy? You know, they call it Fortune 500 for a reason. It's not the Fortune 50 million.
Yeah.
You know, it's a handful of people. They're not going to revive the economy by buying a couple more yachts.
Right.
Exactly. 18 minutes after the hour, Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world, coming up shortly as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
On the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America. This morning.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hal Sparks has just applied my analgesic patch on my back.
If you know what I mean. And now my hands smell like a hospice.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Now you've gone and done it. June in Portland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, June.
Hi, Steffi. I have a bone to pick with you, my dear.
Uh-oh.
I am 86 years old, a member of a minority of old folks who are busy all our lives. Don't make a career out of being sick. Sick, we retire from one job, go back to school, get an advanced degree, start the hobby that we've never had enough time for. And the word elderly that I heard used with the previous guest, I despise the word. I'm a purist as to the English language.
Mm-hmm.
I tutor at a local junior college. I tutor in the Multicultural Center. I've been published here in Portland. I've been published twice in the 70s for money in the Los Angeles Times in the 70s. Now I have been.
Well, you sound great for 86. My mom's 87.
Well, all right. Is she in the same? Is she bright and sparkly?
Yes,
too?
She's. Go to the. Can you get to my? How do you get to my Facebook page? There's an article about my mom in the Charlotte paper. She's 87 and she's beautiful and she sounds plucky like you.
So what's the issue with the word elderly? Because its root is elder, which is actually a positive word.
Elder. No, let me speak. Elder is a
fine. Sorry, I didn't realize I was cutting you off by asking you a question.
Go ahead, Jim.
Valued in every culture, it's the addition of the L-Y that contaminates it, as though to disguise the reality of old. Old is the word old itself is a fine word, a noble word. There's old forests, old paintings, old symphonies, old ruins.
Yes,
old movies.
So I do believe that this attitude, with the advent of the film industry, the early part of the century, this attitude toward being old is an obscenity, I swear to God, the experiences I've had here. So I have my first column. As I said, I've been invited by the Los Angeles Times to start the column I've had in mind for years.
That was actually a paper.
June, I'm not sure what we said. What did we say that was offensive?
Elderly and disabled.
Oh.
Elderly and disabled.
Oh, now, I think we were referring to me.
The attitude of discarding them.
Oh.
Elderly and disabled. Well,
we didn't mean it in a bad way. Hal is actually doing the show from my mobility scooter.
Well, you listen to the Stephanie Miller Show, and the word elderly is the only thing that offends you?
Oh, no, there are... No, see, a general attitude toward being old. Maybe it's not,
well, for
it's
comedic...
not worthy of a joke.
I'm enjoying it.
For comedic purposes, using a word in the pejorative actually you don't believe that about senior citizens, as it were.
I know where we got it from in Right Wing World, June. He was saying that it's Democrats that don't take care of the elderly, and we were begging to differ. That
all politicians use it, unfortunately. But I'm trying to get changed. There's a lot of things I'm trying to get changed as far as English is concerned. Boyfriend, girlfriend that the Associated Press has in its style book. I'm trying to get that changed. Boyfriend, girlfriend are inappropriate
well,
for
thank
anyone
you for,
over 18.
Thank you for starting with the Stephanie Miller Show, where English is barely spoken. Thank you.
I prefer friend and woman friend.
I barely pronounce English words correctly. I don't know why she would start with my show.
Well...
All right.
I don't know that old is that much better than elderly. I get what she's saying because it comes across as elder-ish, which I think applies. It used to be that only the smartest among us would live very long. And the reason why the one gray-haired old man or old woman in the village you could go to them for advice was because they managed to live longer than everybody else. Now, in general, we all live a lot longer. And
Here's the one great thing about being old is you just don't give a what anyone thinks anymore.
Apparently not, because she cares what people think.
My mom is like, you just get to a certain age, and she doesn't care. It's very freeing. All right, so a long-delayed Afghanistan war funding bill stripped billions for teachers and black farmers. There you go again, Hal.
Yep.
Bye-bye, teachers. Bye-bye, black farmers. Is back before the House and walking
who
now.
Who stripped that out, by the way?
Into the storm over the internet leak of battlefield reports stirring old doubts about U.S. policies and relations with Pakistan. With August recess looming, Democrats feel a virtual gun to their heads to complete passage. We were saying it is sort of sad and ironic. The only thing we seem to be able to get done on a bipartisan basis is war.
Isn't it ironic?
Again, send the elderly to war. I think we solved two problems, according to the GOP.
Sparks. All right, the president
they're saying life is a meritocracy, you know. Earn your keep, old lady, 86-year-old on the battlefield.
Obama is talking about the WikiLeaks.
While I'm concerned about the disclosure of sensitive information from the battlefield that
could potentially jeopardize individuals or operations. The fact is, these documents don't reveal any issues that haven't already informed our public debate on Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. This is actually true. And they've held back 16,000 pages that apparently are sensitive. And they allowed the New York Times and I think one other, there are two other sources to look at them and review them, but they redacted a lot of stuff. Even WikiLeaks redacted stuff because right. It was ongoing elements. But for the most part, he's right. This is all, the majority of this happened during the Bush administration. And
Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chiefs Chairman.
I really am appalled by the leak, condemn the leak. Yeah, I think it's important to recognize or emphasize that these are documents that cover the period 2004 to 2009. Much has changed since 2009.
It was. I mean, that is the, you just said that, Hal. Mm-hmm. That's the key thing. It was largely during the Bush era. But, I still think that it should promote greater discussion about what we're doing in Afghanistan.
No question. But Petraeus's plan and what McChrystal was implementing was the fact that we got to kill fewer civilians. And that's what this thing addressed. This is the problem.
29 minutes after the hour, Frank Rich next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
He's got what it takes to help you be a leader in your gang.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. What is my favorite part of the week? Sunday morning in bed with Frank Rich. How many times Mrs. Rich has had to hear that. In bed with your New York Times every Sunday morning.
Oh, yes. Right.
Just was snuggled in between David Gregory and Frank Rich.
Yes.
Spooning.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She's fluent in Frank Rich.
Mrs. Rich doesn't care. Hi, Frank Rich. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
She hears chicks say that to you all the time, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The David Gregory twist is particularly...
I apologize for that.
What are you doing, honey? I'm spooning Frank Rich. Another great one. I know it's this is usually just a big suck-up fest when you come on, but... you always have a sort of another layer on a huge story like the Shirley Sherrod story. So your piece, there's a battle outside and it's still raging. I think really goes to the point that because it's not like there was just one layer of this. I think, as you said, the White House, the NAACP, and the news media were all soiled by this episode.
They were. And also, it shows, it's not just a media story, but it is fascinating that essentially a provocateur with a website and an agenda in league, however, with, let's face it, a major media organization, Fox News, could completely hijack the entire American conversation and make every institution look foolish.
Right. Well, you point out something that I think so many of us had felt. You know, I remember being at the inauguration, and you said this country was rightly elated when it elected its first African-American president more than 20 months ago. That high was destined to abate, but we reached a new low last week. What does it say about America now and where it's heading that a racial provocateur wielding a deceptively edited video could not only smear an innocent woman but make every national institution that's touched the story look bad?
No, it's tragic, really, and the race piece of this is interesting too, because I meant what I wrote. It was a great moment when we elected our first black president, and what's happened since? What's happened is hysteria, largely on the right, not all of it about race, but always it seems with a racial element as a part of it, and not just the fringe. And so the arguments about Obama's a socialist and is undoing the free enterprise system and subverting the government and is a Muslim infidel spy or whatever it is, they're all proxies or often proxies for some of the race stuff.
Right, and for what's being whispered in the thought bubble.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yes, exactly. And that's why there's this whole line of reparations. That Obama's getting reparations for black people. You know, he's this very moderate president. It's ridiculous. But they feel, and this has been true really throughout our modern history, even in the, obviously in the post-slavery era, but certainly since the rise of desegregation and the rise of the civil rights movement, this paranoia that black people or other minorities are going to seize power from white people. And so the consistent weapon is to call black people racist. So that's what Breitbart did with the Shirley Sherrod. It was a libel, but also it is appalling, I have to say, that right off the bat, the NAACP, whose event she was speaking at, whose officials were present, threw her under the bus. Were they sleeping during what she said? Could they make one phone call?
Yep.
So that even they can be easily intimidated.
By Fox News, but that's the point, you know, Frank, of your story, that, you know, to have the White House and the NAACP scared of what Glenn Beck is going to say. It's like, oh, no, that's going to play into his storyline that the president's racist against white people.
It's absolutely, and, you know, and Obama did not, until too late, stand up to this. I think that Tom Vilsack, who by all accounts a decent, devoted public servant, the Secretary of Agriculture, behaved abominably.
And the way you've said it is perfect. In your piece, you said capitulated to a mob. That's what they did.
Without making a single phone call, without using Google. Shirley Sherrod's husband is a legendary figure in the civil rights movement. If you open up Taylor Branch's trilogy about biographies of Martin Luther King, almost any other book, you will find him in there because he was a founder. He was a minister. He was a co-founder of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that played such a big role in voter registration and everything else back then.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, has everyone gotten too lazy to even use the Google, for God's sakes? You just assume if you saw the clip on Fox News, that's the extent of it?
It's really, you know, I've been saying this for several years, not to quote myself, but I really think we have to ask ourselves the question, how is it that we have more sources of information than we've ever had in human history, where you can get any out-of-town newspaper free instantaneously, and yet we seem to know less?
Yeah, exactly. Than when we used to just talk out of our ass, when we didn't have the Google
at our
fingertips.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, you make some really good points in here, too, that the whole term you use, you know, you say this was a high-tech lynching.
It really was.
What happened to Clarence Thomas, not so much. But this.
Exactly. He got the job. She lost her job.
Yeah.
For starters.
Right. And to have, you know, a very credible witness say some pretty important things about his character, I think, for a lifetime appointment was certainly, anyway. But my point is, you make this point in here, the smear might well have stuck if the white octogenarian farmer saved by Sherrod 24 years ago was no longer alive and he didn't look like a Norman Rockwell archetype. Only he and his wife's testimony to her good deeds on CNN could halt the lynching party. I mean, how racist is just that? How far have we come where, you need the white people to testify because now it has credibility?
I couldn't agree with you more. And think, this guy is, I couldn't determine his exact age, but he's well into his 80s. He could well have died by now. And then this would have gone on. I'm convinced it would have gone on for another week. I'm convinced that because he was found, originally by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and he and his wife went right on CNN, that's really what stopped this.
Yeah.
That's one of the saddest testimonies in this whole thing.
It's reprehensible, and it's reprehensible for the White House as well as everyone else who fell for this.
And the right wing has no shame even then, Frank. Did you hear that? And, you know, some on Fox News and Rush Limbaugh speculated they might be a plant. They weren't even real.
They might be a plant. They're relentless, and that's what the Obama administration and the other establishment institutions, including the news media, have to realize Fox is not going to go shrink and go off into a corner. And it was shocking to see how many major news organizations in the immediate aftermath of the revelation of this phony excerpt wrote straight news stories just saying this tape has appeared, it's on a website, it says this and this, and not contradicting it. It was supposedly neutral, unbiased reporting, but they never asked for the other tape or looked at it.
Right, right. And you make a really good point in the piece, too. You say the NAACP was wrong to demand that the Tea Party disown its racist fringe. It should have made that demand of the GOP instead. The Tea Party Express, fronted by Williams, is an indisputable Republican subsidiary.
Exactly. You know, after the NAACP passed its resolution, the predictable reaction of the Tea Party people was, oh, yes, of course we have some fringe nuts that we can't stop. We're going to have these horrible signs. And there's some validity to some of that. However, one day or whatever it was after the resolution, the former head of and then current spokesperson for the Tea Party Express does this racist parody of colored people, in quotes, as he put it, writing a letter to Abraham Lincoln saying basically they want slavery back. He was not some fringe nut. He was the head of the organization, and that organization is entirely set up by Republican political consultants in California.
Yeah, there's an element of the left just misjudging, once Obama got elected, how virulent the opposition to a black president would be leading up to this? Because a lot of that is the White House being
We thought they won't be that outwardly racist.
They can't be that blatant
about
it.
I think there was a misjudgment. I think there were signs that, and I wrote about them at the time, and others did, that should have been paid attention to, starting with the sort of bloodthirsty cries of traitor and what have you at Sarah Palin rallies in the shank of the campaign. That was the beginning of what I think would become an anger that now has been channeled into parts of the Tea Party movement and the fierce, you know.
Well, what we know about the astroturfing aspect of it, though, this wasn't an accident. And a lot of the uppers that have been feeling this kind of stuff for a long time have worked it into appearing to come from the Tea Party, a ground up kind of idea. But this is stuff, like you said, they've been dealing with the idea that black people are going to come for us has been a political tool for a very long time.
It has. It goes back to the Southern Strategy in the Nixon era. And the thing is, what we have to acknowledge, there's been enormous progress. You know, the decades that separate Shirley Sherrod's father being murdered by a white man who was never punished by, never even indicted by a jury in the 60s, and now the country's unrecognizable. But there still is a group that remains, is potentially dangerous, and the Republican Party, they all are Republicans. I'm sorry. I mean, there's 98% of them. The Republican Party cannot pretend it's not happening in their ranks.
And you make a really good point towards the end of your piece, Frank, that this is not the first time. You bring up Breitbart charging John Lewis, who of course was almost beaten to death in the during the civil rights era, early on. So you were saying he called him a liar. Never mind that this melee during the healthcare thing, when he was racial epithets were shouted at him. It had hundreds of eyewitnesses.
Exactly.
And he tried to prove that with a video, as you say, so manifestly bogus. Even Fox wouldn't push it.
Right. It was talked about a bit on Fox, but they never pushed it. And it was a tape that was shot an hour later, as I understand it, of Lewis walking through the Capitol again. And not Breitbart, but other people like Breitbart have also claimed, including at least one congressman who's now joined the Tea Party caucus and that Michelle Bachmann started, that the people who did heckle Lewis and shout racial epithets were plants.
Right. Yeah, I know, exactly. They just have no shame.
They're by black people.
Yes.
Well, and you say that, again, the way you put it, really succinct, about it, things will not get better as long as the McConnells of the conservative establishment look the other way and Fox pumps racial rage into the media bloodstream 24/7. Because it doesn't matter, Black Panther story, whatever, that's the play they run. Ooh, look, scary, angry black people. it doesn't matter.
Absolutely. So I think it's a problem. I think it's been a problem now that's been building for 18 months, and Obama can't go, the administration can't go into hiding, and the Republican Party can't go into, the White House cannot be in denial, and neither can the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Frank Rich, the best columnist in the world.
Oh, please. talking to you.
Whose wife is so, so patient.
bringing an axe, write this down.
The amount of women that spoon with Frank Rich every Sunday morning is just,
awkward.
Bye, Frank. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. He's so warm and indulgent of my sluttiness with him. 46 minutes after the hour. 46 minutes after the hour. back with more Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome
to it. I love
the
second verse.
Hey,
it really gets deeper, you know.
Yeah.
You start.
I love that song. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, que tal? Adios mio.
This portion of the Mamacita y los Mookies show is brought to you by the new Patron Reposado Bone Stimulator.
Ooh, I'm stimulating my bone as we speak.
Next time your bones need a good stiffening, try two shots of the new Patron Reposado Bone Stimulator.
Mm.
Contact your doctor if your stimulation lasts more than 36 hours.
Yeah, every time I put my bone stimulator on, I don't know, the walls melt and I end up in a bathtub on the beach.
Ooh, and you know, every
next
time,
to someone I've never met. I don't know. It's weird.
And you know what? I just learned that every time you hit that little bling, mm-hmm. a drop, a certs gets its retin drop.
And, yeah. and an angel gets its wings.
Which if you bite, by the way, in the dark, it will create a spark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and secondly, retin is simply blue dye.
Well, I would figure that at one point your parents created a spark in the dark as well.
Yeah. Oh, indeed.
Well, oh, dear God.
You're all right, parents only had sex at night.
Let's get on to the war you wanted to talk about.
I know. My head is absolutely reeling right now hearing this news about the $8.7 billion that is now missing from the Pentagon Iraq oil revenues. Whoopsies. No, seriously. I can't tell which one is more corrupt, Hamid Karzai's opium-dealing brother or the Pentagon. I mean, I want to remind you of something here. Back years ago, before 9/11, Donald Rumsfeld announced that $2.3 trillion was missing the day before 9/11.
Well, I mean, you know, Sanchez, he's admitted he stole the election, and I love yesterday. It's like this, Chris Matthews reports he smokes hashish.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, we're partners with the Spicoli from the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
We're in Afghanistan eating some food.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is so bad. And this is all based, again, on a false flag operation. 9/11 was an inside job. I swear.
Oh, dear God. All right. All right.
Because there's enough
people
out there that know this, Mamacita. And now, having said that, Barack Obama calls Afghanistan the good war. But I tend to believe Dennis Kucinich when he says that there are 92,000 reasons not to support this phony war.
Yep.
$60 billion more dollars are down the drain, all for this phony war.
Yep.
More money
you.
For wars and none for education.
Right.
I know. I said it's a sad commentary. That seems to be the only thing we can agree on in a bipartisan way.
Ultimately, regardless of what you feel about who was behind 9/11 or whatever, the whole operation cost about $400,000. And when you do the math, $9 billion being missing connected to CIA and Pentagon people doesn't make you feel very safe no matter what office you would hold.
Nope.
Can we get a Spicoli on the phone over there in Afghanistan and see what's...
Hey, Mr. Hyde.
So we heard that you're giving out money to Pakistan. They're kind of colluding with the...
Learn about Pakistan eating some food.
See, here's what I think. Yeah. I think the pharmaceutical industry should buy up all the opium, top dollar. And then, you know, say, just stop killing people. We'll buy all your opium and turn it into pharmaceuticals.
Listen, Jim Ward, you are a big thinker. Between that and airlifting anything with a vagina out of Afghanistan, I think you've got it solved. And they seem like it's a fine line, Hal, between comedy and genius.
And then you can resell it at a markup. Oxycontin or any other painkiller you want.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
It's the problem capitalism.
Is, yeah, exactly. We never talk about where that opium goes. They talk about, you know, it forming, you know, turning into heroin and becoming part of the market. But a good portion of the opium made in the world turns into painkillers that are sold by pharmaceutical companies over the world.
Some of it may be in my analgesic patch that's on my back right now.
Not quite.
George in Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I've called you once before a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, that time, sure. Yeah.
I wanted to call you and say this. Why is it with, here we are, allowing I'm an African-American male, 71 years old.
Uh-huh.
Born and brought up in Washington, D.C.
You wouldn't happen to be Robert Dionne, would you?
A lot of the dirt that belongs in there.
It's amazing.
You're Benson!
These Republicans and these racists to manipulate us and put us on the defensive when we should have the upper hand. We are the ones in power.
Yep. Well, you know, it's like we were just talking to Frank Rich. I mean, some of it is just beyond blatantly racist. It's not, I don't even know what you say about the, by the way, can I have my dueling banjos, please? That's the whole birtherism thing, isn't it? It's just, he's not from here.
Look, he was brought here. That's not the same thing as being American. We killed all the brownish people who were here, and then we brought the other ones. They're not Americans.
Colorado Republican Senate candidate Ken Buck appeared on a one of the right-wing WAC stations in Denver. He responded, you know, he called the birthers dumbasses. The teabaggers are the ones that got him in. So he went on this radio show, the guy's a birther. Whoever this host is, he's an avid birther who believes that there's a high degree of probability that Obama's a dual citizen of the United States and Kenya, based on
nothing.
Yes. When pressed to give his personal views on the legitimacy of the birther controversy, Buck disassociated himself from the birther movement, which I love is probably going to get him. He will probably lose the race now because he's not, dancing with the crazy dumbasses that brought him.
Right.
The host said, why call these people dumbasses for asking you questions? He asked angrily. Buck responded, his frustration with the birther dumbasses is that they dominate meetings to the point where I can't talk about issues that I think are more important and more relevant. At the end of the interview, he refused to offer an apology for his comment. The host doggedly persisted in trying to get him to sympathize with birthers, presenting one fact after another. I don't know where he was born. I don't know what he was born. There are enormous problems in the so-called nativity story of Barack Obama. He has lived almost 50 years without leaving any footprints. Can I tell you, my right-wing whack brother sends me that email that Obama has lived. What are they talking about? He has degrees. He went to school. People knew him.
I got that
email from my brother. He's left no footprint. There's no records of any kind about Barack Obama. What?
He appeared like Spock being beamed down to the earth.
Yes.
Emotionless, oddly shaped African-American man with big ears.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Celebrity stack and much more. Actress Elizabeth Perkins joins us next hour as we continue Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. We are video streaming on halsparks.com as we are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal.
Yes. Absolutely. Everybody can see your gimp foot and me riding around on your mobility scooter and...
Well, I'm in my chaise lounge with my analgesic patch
How'd that get there?
That you put it on for me. Mm-hmm. Someone on the live stream, Chris, says I should get a tramp stamp near it. A little Hal tattoo in a heart.
Of an analgesic patch. Nothing is hotter than maybe the names of your kids. You know, that kind of, that tramp stamp would be a good idea. I've always been in, or your parents is a good idea.
Don't forget tomorrow, another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson with Congressman Grayson. And and Van Jones will be on as well.
I'm doing an event for a movie called Carbon Nation with Van Jones in Chicago on the 10th of August.
Did you?
You conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Did you know that he didn't? They used his name without his permission. So the whole reason he got fired was bogus. The that 9/11 website. He didn't even sign that.
Yep.
But the news cycle just too fast. Gotta go. Bye bye.
All right.
Somebody reported it somewhere.
Now.
It must be
bye-bye
true.
Bye bye then.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Ed says he writes on the subject line that Mars clearly needs. I think you know what I mean.
Mars needs Stephanie Miller.
Yes. Dear Stephanie, I thank you for running the Mars Needs Women PSA last week. Our scientists have since analyzed all your needs, and we believe you can be very happy on Mars. As to your dietary needs as an Earthling, you may not know that Mars is called the Red Planet because our canals are full of red wine. Oh, fabulous. Who knew? As for your other need, Martian males look like either Will Smith or Russell Crowe and talk like Keith Olbermann. However, I must be honest, unlike many species in the galaxy, Martian men only have two penises. We hope this is acceptable to you.
Computer says yes.
If not, if so, we can arrange transport immediately. Sincerely, a Bzork of Mars, the Seattle Embassy.
Better to have one big one than two small ones. Actually, people on Mars would probably be about 9 feet tall, so they have great basketball teams on Mars.
But they have the lower gravity. Lower gravity, right. Yeah. Exactly. And they'd come here and they'd have heart problems and all kinds of stuff because of the weight. Yeah.
Oh. This is a story about two of my favorite things, firefighters and kitties. Yeah, it's a firefighters saved a kitty. The little... Like the kitty went home, but only after Vienna police and firefighters partially dismantled, they took apart an entire police car.
That's because it was chased up in a tree by giant Great Pyrenees dogs.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon.
Scared to death by
not
polar bear animals walking down the sidewalk.
My cousin had a Samoyed that he brought to our house once and chased one of my cats up a palm tree. She stayed there for 2 days.
Wow.
Oh, and then she moved down the street to a neighbor's house.
I rest my case.
Yeah.
All right. Sadly for us, we got into a 70s ditch. We don't know how. We just stumbled into Wuss Rock, which led to the worst song of all time from the 70s, I've Never Been to Me. And who sent us a dance remix and why?
My friend Rick in Pomona.
Rick in Pomona.
There is no why.
I just didn't think you could make that song worse.
Right, that can be worse.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might
thank
be able
you,
to hear
Rick.
This song rumbling out the cracks in the windows at a place called Motherlode in Pomona, I'm guessing. I doubt this is something I'm playing on anybody's radio station.
A lot of glow sticks.
I'm going to guess. Yeah.
This is when Isn't It Ironic File meets the crook stack. Woman loses shirt after stealing pants.
Isn't it ironic?
Oh,
that is actually ironic.
She has 10,000 pairs of pants and all she needs is a shirt. A woman robbed a Northwest Peoria store but ended up losing her shirt in the process. Store management saw a woman stuff several pairs of children's jeans into her pants. Security was notified and the guard was escorting her to the office. When she made a break for it, the guard grabbed the woman's shirt, but she wiggled out of the shirt, knocking the guard to the floor. And then the woman
got away with the pants.
Yes, and made their way into a waiting car with the pants.
She had a getaway car for pants stealing? That was so well organized. I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Usually that's not the case.
The stupidest story I ever heard about a store like that, like a Kmart, was a woman tried to steal shoes, which I don't know how you can do that because they're all tied together with those little plastic strings, so it didn't seem like you'd get very far on foot if you'd been stolen.
Well, she would toss them up onto electrical lines and then come back for them later.
I'm a little get away from me. Ouch! I don't know if this was the same woman. This is out of the Toronto. Job hunter allegedly stole clothes from a store she interviewed at. Don't leave your resume behind at the scene of the crime. Cops didn't have to look too hard for an alleged shoplifter who was hunting for a job at the same time over the weekend. She was at a store for a job interview, but after meeting the store manager and handing over her resume, the woman was spotted on store security cameras allegedly lifting several items.
Should have given her the job.
Running out.
Yeah.
So why do you want the job? So I can steal stuff easier?
So I don't have to steal. So I would like a job so I could purchase these things.
So I don't have to steal stuff from you like I normally do.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oops. Wow. Dagnabbit.
Hi.
Jill in Ithaca.
I'm on the phone, though.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
She's on the phone. Mm-hmm. Leave her alone.
She's talking to someone very important now.
Oh,
hi, Jill.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I'm sorry. Until I got through. Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I'm very concerned about Private Manning, the person who supposedly put the WikiLeaks on the computer, on the internet. And, you know, are they going to do what they did to Daniel Ellsberg and, you know, similar things? Go into his psychiatrist's office
I think that analogy is kind of false. I mean, first of all, Obama didn't fight the release like Nixon did, and it didn't really, you know, I mean, obviously it mostly covered the Bush years in Afghanistan as well, so I don't think the analogy is really apt, do you?
I don't know. I'm just worried that, you know, they're targeting him now, and I just think we should all, you know, pay attention to what's going to happen to him.
Right.
Okay. All right, honey.
Anyway,
well, question.
And the other thing, too, is WikiLeaks sounds something like you need Depends for.
It's true.
You know, I made up funny about WikiLeaks.
I have
WikiLeaks.
An issue with using I don't think
or maybe if you're incontinent in a wicker chair or something.
That's true.
That would be a WikiLeaks.
Want, yeah. Maybe in a big beach lounger, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like you are in the studio today?
Mm-hmm.
Is this something I, as your analgesic patch applier I should be aware of?
Help, Mommy.
Help, Mommy. I've, my bitter.
How Sparks was
my
doing
bitter,
it.
I mean, my
by the way,
full.
He does everything just for the camera. He was taking forever to put Mama's analgesic patch on because he's like, I'm doing it for the Howl Cam. I'm like, hurry!
I beg your pardon. You said, don't get it, let it get all crinkly. Don't, it gets all twisty, crinkly. Don't,
I
let,
did,
it,
I said, don't let it get twisty and hurry up with it.
And I did.
I'd throw Mama from the train at this point.
Yeah. Owen!
Yeah, clumsy Pope!
Get away from me, you horse's ass. You don't have a cousin, Pally.
He literally is performing for the Howl Cam. I'm like, just make a bad
yeah.
You clumsy Pope.
What a dream I was having. Louis Armstrong was trying to kill me. I'm Ann Ramsey.
Hello, Ramsey.
All right. So, BP sending Tony Hayward to Russia. He would like his life back, but apparently it will be in Siberia.
Yeah.
Isn't that the typical...
Where a gangster disregard for the health and well-being of everybody around you is actually looked upon as a positive thing. Seriously, I mean, it's less
so gangsta.
Yeah, well, it's like basically a government that's essentially a mafia-based system.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to look like a knight in shining armor comparatively.
Yes. His by the way...
All he did was spill a bunch of oil on the American fishing industry with a waste. Now our caviar prices go up.
His golden parachute, he will immediately begin receiving $930,000 a year pension. Mm-hmm. Are the people on the Gulf Coast getting that sort of
no.
$13 million.
They haven't put anything into that trust fund.
You think he's got stock options as well?
Hmm.
You think he bought some of the stock when it's going low and it's going back up again?
It made the Carly Fiorino's golden parachute look, you know,
so yesterday,
your
so
tawdry millions. Exactly. All right. So Doug Suttles, he has an American accent, so it's all better now.
Oh, Mr. Dudley?
Yes, Doug Suttles is the incoming BP.
I've spent the last 3 months every day on the Gulf Coast. And I'm going to focus for the next month and a half on what we're doing in the Gulf Coast, our relationships with the Gulf Coast and in Washington.
And
Tony and I
done.
Are going to work through a transition between now and the 1st of October.
Good job, Brownie.
Read the, somebody had to call the Wambulance for Tony Hayward, didn't they, Al?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Well, but he's the victim in all this.
Oh, no question.
He
I mean, he was demonized and vilified.
He was demonized. Made it impossible for him to continue on.
Oh, yes, as the face of,
Good heavens, I haven't seen a cricket game in ages.
Oh,
terrible.
I'm being so put upon.
Here's the exact quote.
I don't think a lot of people in any country are feeling, Robert Gibbs, but here was the quote from Hayward. 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sad day for me, personally, Hayward told a conference call. I became the public face and was demonized and vilified. BP cannot move on in the U.S. with me as its leader. He would not be drawn on whether he felt his treatment had been unfair or not, but reportedly responded, life isn't fair.
Oh. Yeah, especially if you live in the Gulf.
Yeah. Life. By the way, can I just say, Hal Sparks...
I've seen blue skies through the tears.
Hal Sparks furiously fingering his iPad was even hotter than I'm putting on my analgesic patch earlier, you Hal streamers.
Right. Well, according to a Huffington Post, I'm an elitist snob because I'm fingering my iPad.
An Apple fanboy. He gets very hysterical when the Apple gets dissed. Okay, Mitch Landrieu.
I don't mind you dissing them.
New Orleans mayor on Doug Suttles.
It's a welcome change, but just changing faces and not changing corporate philosophies doesn't really get you anywhere. Yeah. The people in the Gulf South want to know that BP is completely and totally committed to completely making it right. And that means not leaving just because the well is capped.
Hey, you know who they should have made the head of BP is that Haley Barbour, who's a very, very big friend of big oil.
There's a lot of people need jobs down here. Whether or not they get blown up doing them is their business. All I got to do is stop unions from keeping people from drilling.
Big oil apologist Haley Barbour raises more than $2 million in oil money for the Republican Governors Association. Why, they raked in an astonishing $19 million last quarter. A significant portion, more than $2 million, comes from oil and gas interests.
Yeah. How about paying some of that to the Gulf fishermen and people whose lives have been ruined?
Yeah, exactly. Come on down fishing, won't you? You can.
My fish to jump right out of the water now because it's all oily. They don't like it.
Exactly.
They jump right in the net. Don't need to hook them or nothing.
It's great. Sometimes it gets slippery though. You gotta get tighter nets.
It's like a carnival game. You hit them in the head with a tar ball, and you can just take them right on home.
They're cooking up real nice. I already got their own oil.
They're marinated. They've been marinated.
Right. They're like marionettes without the strings.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with the celebrity stack and much more. Actress Elizabeth Perkins coming up as we continue Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your
clothes. Oh my God, I may jump off my mobility scooter and rip my analgesic patch off.
I'm on your mobility scooter. You're in your chaise lounge.
I didn't even know my ass from my elbow.
Right.
24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere as we continue Hump Days with Hal.
Oh, yeah.
Sparks. Dave in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. Hey, Hal.
Hey.
How are you?
Hello.
You are a lumberjack or something.
Hello, man. Greeting.
No, really. Gay as a blade, actually.
Oh.
Anyway.
Where is a football bat? But, man.
You still sound like a lumberjack.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day.
All right, Dave, go ahead.
About 25 years ago, I was in college doing a radio show with a buddy of mine. I was a mad dog and he was Tripper. named from Three's Company, that's Jack Tripper.
Wow,
oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
Mad Dog and Tripper.
Anyway, yeah, it was corny as hell. We had a microscopic fame of about 30 listeners. But one April Fool's Day, we, speaking of 70s wuss rock, we put If by Bread on two turntables.
If? A song, good something. I don't even know the words. Yes.
It's the most whiny, ridiculous, cats in a bag kind of horrible, horrible song.
We
played it 52 times in a row.
Oh, wow. So your listenership dwindled to the low 20s then.
Yeah.
Well, the first half hour, we had people calling up wondering if we could hear what was going out. And they were convinced that, you know, we didn't know what was going on. The second half hour, we started getting death threats. Alvin Rushdie didn't get death threats like we got.
We might want to use that on the Senate to get something done. We will play bread.
There you go.
Until
that's
you
a
sign
filibuster. Yeah.
This campaign finance reform. Dave, I have one more question. You said you're gay as a blade.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that saying come from? Why are blades gay? What's a blade? Like a knife?
I think it's in reference to Zorro the Gay Blade.
I think specifically it was a rapier.
Oh, that does sound gay. All right, thank you, Dave.
Does it?
All right. All right, thank you, Dave.
I would like to say for the record, behalf of my LGBT friends, that homosexuals are not any more rapey than straight people. As a matter of fact, by sheer numbers, that would be impossible.
Unless you count rapier wit, which many of the gays have.
Yes. Well, not necessarily. I mean, the Oscar Wilde's among them, of course, but...
That's another stereotype.
Yes, it is. A lot of gays think they're a lot funnier than they actually are. But that's true of all people. Like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, gays are like children.
Except that guy that calls to do the Betty Davis off with me. Right. He's funny.
Who's in, you know, just gays are like children or any other group of people. A whole lot of losers and a couple of winners.
All right.
Right.
Hey, speaking of losers, Joe Lieberman.
Lieberman.
Joe Lieberman.
For a long time.
He's so... Could he be wishy-washier? Senate Democratic
maybe,
leaders have received a commitment, whatever you can call a commitment, from Joe Lieberman to vote yes to invoke cloture on the Disclose Act when he returns to the Senate after attending a funeral. He will vote for the cloture motion, but he says he can't vote for the bill itself in its current form.
So what?
He hasn't publicly staked out a position on campaign finance.
Well, this is
because his friend John McCain, his buddy, has flip-flopped on a bill that his name was on.
Citizens United. This is not even regular campaign finance reform. This is strictly against the Citizens United ruling, and it's a soft version of that. It just makes people say who they are when they pay for an ad.
The president, yes.
It's during this time that the noise and the chatter about who's up in the polls and which party's ahead threatens to drown out just about everything else.
Senator Mitch McChinless, of course, with a different thought on what the Disclose bill is about.
This bill is about protecting incumbent Democrats from criticism ahead of this November's election.
Oh, please.
Yes.
A transparent attempt to rig the fall election.
Oh, please. Senator Schumer on the very same subject yesterday. Chuck Schumer.
So the idea that this limits free speech is bogus. The idea that this bill is unbalanced is bogus.
Again, this is the YouTube comment style of political advertising. I want to create a false identity and then sell it based on that.
Exactly. America's favorite actress, Elizabeth Perkins, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm not looking for romance. No, I'm looking for something more important than that. Something stronger. As the years go by, romance fades and something else takes its place. Do you know what that is?
Senility.
Trust.
That's what I meant.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Stop Googling Elizabeth Perkins and getting all squeezy, for God's sakes.
Oh,
don't look at the picture
very
Tommy
sexy.
Sent. Stop
very
it.
Hot.
She's America's sweetheart, for God's sakes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. The Stephanie Miller Show proving once again, Chris, whining works. We've been whining for weeks that Elizabeth Perkins wouldn't come on the show, even though she told me she would. Good morning, Elizabeth Perkins.
I told you I would come on the show.
Yay.
I really wanted to be on the show.
You ran into Hal Sparks and I at Melissa Etheridge's birthday party.
I know, it was the best thing about the party.
It was
the best thing about the party. Not that I don't love Melissa. I mean, what's not to love about Melissa?
Exactly.
But we did have a good time.
Oh, my God, Stephanie Miller's here.
I know, I was like, oh, my God, it's Elizabeth Perkins. I can tell that my associate producer, Rebecca, is also a geeky fangirl because she literally wrote on my show prep, Elizabeth Perkins, America's favorite actress, confirmed for tomorrow. There you are.
I'm an American favorite actress.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
I was seriously so excited to meet you because I told you my pathetic fangirl story.
And we completely gravitated towards each other because of it.
Yes. Well, despite the fact that I think I did the Lumbada with your husband, for which I apologize.
Yeah, that's okay. He does the Lumbada with everybody. It's a problem. He's the Lumbada guy.
But it gave us some time alone.
Over. Yeah, I have to come back now, hon.
Well, I think, but I told you the story. During my disastrous non-career in sitcoms, I once had an audition to play your best friend on some series, and I was so nervous. They were like, you're reading with Elizabeth Perkins today, and all I remember is you were so kind to me, and I sucked so, so badly.
But you see, you think you sucked, but you didn't.
Apparently I didn't suck badly enough for you to even remember it.
No, I just refuse to have anybody on my show who's skinnier than me.
So, talk to us about what you're up to, because I really am such a huge fan, and you're not on Weeds, which you were terrific on. You just left Weeds.
I know. Can you believe I'm not on Weeds?
I can't believe.
I don't even know what to say. I'm like, really? I'm not on Weeds anymore? I sort of don't. I have to say it did take me a little bit by surprise. I was a little, I was sort of expecting to go the whole run of the show, but then, you know, we all started talking about the character, and I don't know, it used to be this great character that just kind of turned very cartoony, and it was not really something I wanted to play, so cartoony,
right.
And it's an interesting show, Weeds, it always has been, it's just that it's gone in so many different directions since it premiered, and I don't know what they're doing now.
Well, you have, you know, I think, one of those really rare combinations, and I'm going to sound like a complete suck-up during this whole interview, by the way. But
I love when people suck up.
Okay. Because I told you this at the party, but you have that very rare combination of heart and humor, I think, that, you know, you can play comedy, but you're just so, I mean, I think in Big, it was sort of the best example. You were just, whenever I tell people, you know, you're coming on, and they're like, oh, from Big? I'm like, yes.
It's so funny because that movie's like 25 years old now.
So I know.
We're dating ourselves.
I know. Well, I mean, obviously Weeds, and then you brought up Cartoony, which I had even forgotten that you played Coral, Nemo's mom in Finding Nemo.
I did. I died. Like all great Disney moms.
Yes, true.
You're like, I'm going to play a Disney mom?
It's Disney mom has to die in the first 10 pages.
Yeah, this will be short. No, right.
And like badly, like eaten by a barracuda or like shot by a...
By a hunter.
Yeah. How did Nemo's mom die?
Or else they just die in childbirth, you know, like the ultimate gift.
Sacrifice. That's what mothers are for, remember.
Yeah,
so we kind of worked together. I was did some ADR on Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Wow. What? Wait, how did Nemo's mom die? I forget now.
She was eaten by a barracuda.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
I don't know why that made me laugh.
how did you find your sense memory for that? What did you base that experience on?
Eating caviar. Yeah.
Right. Being eaten by caviar. Yeah.
Being eaten by caviar. That's something.
You went and had one of those fish pedicures where they put your feet in a bunch of fish. Right.
And you've done it. You've done more. You've done King of the Hill.
Yeah, I did King of the Hill, and I actually just finished doing a movie that Russell Brand's going to be doing the voice of, where it's sort of live action combined with CG and cartoon. He plays the Easter Bunny.
How hilarious.
As you do.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall in that ADR session, because I know it's a G-rated film, and they've got Russell Brand, and I'm like, that's like having Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I have no idea how our Easter Bunny is going to turn out, but I think he's going to be pretty belligerent, so I'm looking forward to that.
And you played Betty, I remember, in the Flintstones, but that was live action.
I was Wilma.
Wilma, excuse me, in the Flintstones.
Totally live action.
Do you ever do your hair that way just for fun? Or?
No, but I do still have one of the wigs and one of the togas every now and then to scare my husband.
I arrive
in the bedroom and I'm in it, you know.
Well,
no one's going to bring...
When you want to play the whole caveman fantasy, for sure, we understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one's going to bring this up with your Genius in the Jiminy Glick movie.
Thank you.
So
I loved
funny.
Doing that. That was my first improvised movie.
Yeah.
How much fun is improvising?
Seriously.
Plus, I was playing a drunken actress around my age, so.
I cannot get you insured because you're always smelly with drink.
Now, smelly with the drink.
I don't know if you were drinking at Melissa Etheridge's party, because we need you
I was drinking at Illumina.
Well, I don't know if you're a reliable witness then, but Hal Sparks and I need you to settle a bet. I contend that he dances like a Rock'em Sock'em robot. He does that white man thing where he just moves the upper part of his body, and you want to keep putting his head down? Exactly.
Yeah, and not like that, but he kind of takes the upper teeth and bites the lower lip.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Comedy dancing.
Yeah, very
But
sort of
he claims that he was only dancing like that because I dance like a spaz, like Elaine in Seinfeld, and that's the only, like, he had to avoid my flailing arms.
No.
I don't know. I was so busy watching him, I didn't pay attention to what
that happens.
He was doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to vote with you there, Steph.
See? Well, he claims that I dance like Elaine, but just sluttier. I just kind of act slutty.
That's a compliment. See?
Yeah.
It's more like
a
frog that never gets off the ground. It's this constant kind of two-legged jumping.
Sure, you're a slutty spaz.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Spaz.
Melissa had that special tequila.
Yes.
So I did like 3 shots of that, and I was dancing, and all of a sudden I turned to my husband and I said, you should take me home.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa does have the good
stuff. Someone else does.
They were to my brain stem, and I kind of froze.
It's pretty amazing. Like, she was wandering around like a pirate with that bottle of liquor. And
yeah, it's because she didn't have a patch on her eye.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the bad news about going to an A-list celebrity party. They have the good stuff.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, of course I'm going to drink that. It's free.
Oh. Yeah, I think it was imported from, like, Jersey.
Yeah, and when you choose to be a designated driver at one of those parties, it's a 3-day commitment.
It is, completely. You cannot leave.
Right.
Yes, I had a number of faux pas at that party, as I recall, didn't I, Hal?
Did I woke up the next morning going, did I say anything bad to anybody important? because...
Did I keep my clothes on?
Yeah, right. These aren't my clothes.
I did three shots of that, and I barely remember leaving.
Well, let's start with the fact that I was a big enough geek, so I wore my You Rock t-shirt just for Melissa.
Yes.
That's how big a geek
totally
I am.
You did, didn't you?
And not only did I wear it, I pointed it out to her.
Several
but
times.
To be honest, I didn't care about anybody else who was there. I kept saying to my husband, Stephanie Miller's here.
Oh, you.
It's true.
You think she'll have me on the show?
Oh, I think, actually, I was asking you if there was someone famous that we both recognize, and when I suddenly realized, oh, my God, you're Elizabeth Perkins.
And I was like, oh, my God, you're Stephanie Miller.
Right.
You have to understand, I have four kids, and I live in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So is an enormous amount of time spent on the road.
Yes.
With the carpooling and the chauffeuring and the soccer and the tennis and the
sure.
You're my gal.
Oh, thank you.
You know, everybody sort of started out at AM 640 and then went screw that. And now you are the only person I listen to.
Woo-hoo! You have exquisite taste.
Every now and then I'll go to NPR, but that kind of puts me to sleep when I'm on the
street. Not when you're driving.
Staff.
So, you know, I'm looking down your resume, and I even forget about some of the Avalon Indian Summer. You've done,
Steph, I've been in big movies.
Big movies. But
giant
movies. Do you have it's probably a dumb question, but do you have a preference, dramatic work, comedic work? Is there something, stuff you gravitate to?
I like comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's just a better environment on a set. I mean, we take ourselves so seriously. In our industry, it's so, you know, you constantly have to remind people, you know, it's not brain surgery. We're not finding a cure for cancer. We're making a movie.
I don't take myself seriously because I think it's important.
And I really, really if I had to choose, I'd do another television show. I love working in TV.
Well, that's got to be, I always hear that. I have no life, as you know. I'm a single, childless, bitter loser. But But I've heard for people with normal lives like you have, and kids. It's actually a better schedule, right?
It's such a better gig. And creatively, when you're doing something new every week, it just changes it up. It's like working with your back against the wall. It's really challenging and it's really fun. And then I went back after doing TV for a long time and did a movie, and I realized I'm so bored.
TV's like doing a play with money.
I've seen for 17 days, and it's just not as challenging as television is. So.
And here would be the really great thing about you getting a TV show now, is now your clout is even bigger, so you could make sure that
Stephanie Miller
gets cast as your sidekick, even though I suck.
Yeah, it's an atomic-sized cloud right now for me. The biggest cloud.
That would be the network meeting. You know, Stephanie Miller sucks. I know, but I like a radio show, and I promised her, so I'm sorry.
Sorry.
You could
cut around it.
You cut around me. Exactly.
Not even
you can
script.
Fix it in post. You can fix it in post, Elizabeth. Anyway, I actually am so thrilled you came on.
I'm so thrilled, too.
You're one of those people, you know how, like, in Hollywood, this always happens, that you're a big fan, and then you meet someone, and they're a total asshat?
I know, and it happens, like, so often.
So I was just thrilled to find out that you're as nice as you are talented.
Well, I was a little drunk.
Well, you still seem delightful even this morning.
I was not.
Have you ever worked with Oliver Stone, speaking of the scandal of the morning?
No, I have not.
he had some Mel Gibson-esque thoughts on the Jews.
Unbelievable. It's just outrageous.
But he is part Jewish.
He is part Jewish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet...
Do you know Mel Gibson, speaking of which?
No. But I keep playing them, and my husband keeps nodding. He was pushed too far. He was pushed too far.
Right. Sometimes a woman just drives you a little crazy, you know?
Sometimes you just got to go off.
Yeah. It's not my fault entirely. I mean,
you know, Elizabeth, I hate to go all James Lipton on your ass, but you are a delight, ma'am.
Thank you.
You are wonderful.
I hope you'll.
If you were a tree.
If you were a tree, I'd be a mighty oak. I tell you though, the one thing I do want to comment on is it's so shocking to me about the teabagger stuff.
Yes.
And that only one person, and maybe you talked about it earlier, teabagging for me always represented something completely different.
Sure. Yes. Something life-affirming and positive.
Yeah. And what's going on there? Why isn't that being...
You're a good progressive, aren't you? You get involved politically and stuff.
I just got my card yesterday from Matthew Modine announcing I'm a card-carrying liberal.
Woo-hoo!
How
are you feeling? Because I'm sure you were really, involved and excited about Obama's election. Yeah. How are you feeling now? And, Hal Sparks and I, happy clappy liberals, we because he just seems like he can't do anything right these days.
It seems to me like nobody can do anything right. Mm-hmm. The amount of red tape has gotten so completely out of control that it's almost like nothing is getting done.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a frustration that I have with the government in general, in the way the government works.
Yeah.
Is that, you couldn't even as a president come in and just say, this is what I want to do, and it happens.
Well, that's what I keep trying to say is that it just, you can prove it on paper. This is the most obstructionist version of the Republican Party we've ever had. They
exactly.
Absolutely en masse vote against anything he wants to get done.
And if you had to compare, Bush's first year to Obama's first year, you can go ahead and do that and see what the results are, because it would be downright frightening.
Yep.
9/11, anybody?
Yeah. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. So, I'm willing to give him some space and time.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You think everything I think, and you're smart and pretty and talented, and
I hope you'll
be my new best friend.
I would love to. Can I be on the show again?
Sure.
Yes. Come in and be in the studio live.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that would be
like
really
that.
Fun.
Yeah, so they
really
can get all sleazy
it.
On
yeah.
you. No, stop
totally
it.
Totally would.
I secretly want to take over Stephanie's job. She doesn't know it, but
dun,
this
dun,
is like my foot in the door now.
And if I had an assistant... She just went all about Eve on my ass. What happened there?
Yeah.
And I would take over your job if I had a smidgen of talent, but I don't.
You have a lot of talent. Like I said, I needed somebody who was about my weight and size so I wouldn't be threatened. And you're just too young and beautiful.
Oh, stop
you
it.
Have voluptuous
be gone
woman
with
parts.
You now, Elizabeth Perkins. All right, you come visit us live in studio, all right?
I would love to.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day.
Miss you
guys.
Already. Love you more than air.
Love you.
Can't breathe without you. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yay.
How awesome is she?
I ran into her at the Good Neighbor restaurant in Studio City once.
You did?
She still goes there.
Wasn't she delightful?
Yes. Oh, yes.
All right. thank you, Jim, for not being overly squeezy.
It's difficult.
Well, he was holding
you
it in.
My thought bubble.
Especially her breastises is in Jiminy Glick.
48.
I'm looking at this mountain, and I'm going to ski to the bottom.
48 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Engaged in a kiss. The sweat of the body covers me. Can you, my darling,
can you picture this? I'm 3 feet tall.
Never stop.
Sounds like gastrointestinal distress in there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
53 minutes after the hour. I felt a dearth of fart jokes on the show today. There, that's been addressed now.
Oh, thank you. I was
moving on. Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Right. Feels so much better. On hump days we can bypass the fart jokes and just stick to the sexual references.
Oh,
yes,
right.
I'm comfortable with that since it's hump days.
Well, there's some breaking news on the Senator Boxer and Carly Fiorina fight.
Fiorina. As in Purina.
What did I say? Fiorina.
Fiorino.
California prefers Senator Boxer's hair over Carly Fiorina.
She is, I have to say, a modern woman, well put together, that Barbara Boxer.
You don't want to get in a fight with B-Box. You really don't. She rocks.
No.
I guess he wants a fight.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Bring it.
If that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
Yeah, bring it on, biatch.
Because we're going to have a fight.
Yeah, baby. 19% of registered voters have a higher opinion of Boxer's hair, while 14% have a higher opinion of Fiorina's hair. 67% not sure. We're very noncommittal about hair here in California. We're really not sure. All right. All right. We mentioned...
So glad we covered yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
so yesterday.
So is your lead, by the way.
Yeah.
Barbara
yeah.
Boxer jumped out to a 49-42 lead. Yeah, the more the public gets to like gets to know Carly Fiorina,
the less they like.
Computer says no.
Not so much.
No.
Oliver Stone has apologized for his Holocaust remarks. He issued an apology for remarks he made regarding the Holocaust and what he called the Jewish domination of the media. In a Sunday Times interview, he started talking about the Holocaust. He said, Hitler was a Frankenstein, but there was also a Dr. Frankenstein, German industrialist, the Americans and the British. He had a lot of support.
That's true.
This
Hitler
is true,
did
yes.
far more damage to the Russians than the Jewish people. He also said Jewish domination of the U.S. media is to blame for the Holocaust. That's getting a bigger spotlight than the deaths that occurred in Russia in World War.
There was I guess he won't be getting that slot at the press corps that Helen Thomas left behind.
Yeah. No. The 30 million dead Russians, it does need to have attention drawn to it. The difference between the killing of the Jews and the killing of the Russians were the Russian killing was done at least in the guise of war, soldier to
soldier. Some of them were combatants.
It wasn't permanent. Extinction was not the goal. They wanted to take over Russia. They just wanted to kill
the Jews.
It's the
old Hitler was a scapegoat theory. That's
not necessarily. Well, I think he was just saying that he didn't do it alone.
He was as racist against the Slavs as he once was the
and
Jews.
Gays and he believed in a master race idea. So
the superficial writing. Oliver Stone and Mel Gibson should hang out. Not wanting to join everyone's favorite fiery fellatio demander in Hollywood jail, Oliver Stone has since walked back his remarks. Oh, God, there's more on Mel.
The problem with his being painting with such a broad brush and being so kind of anti-Semitic about it was that the last sentence of what he said actually is meaningful, which is that the Israeli lobby in this country has done a lot of damage to American and Israeli foreign policy.
Right.
That AIPAC does a lot of damage, not just to American foreign policy, but to Israeli foreign
policy
as well.
That doesn't mean the Jews.
No.
It means a certain right-wing organization.
Exactly, within it. That's like saying...
By the way, and Jim, you've tried to point out that the thing the Jewish people may miss about the neocons is in their fantasy of this whole world thing, it doesn't end well for you.
Right.
Unless you renounce your...
The whole rapture doesn't go well.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't tell them the ending.
Yeah, you have to become Christian or you're going to die.
Yeah, and if you don't, you go back to Israel and get your throat slit. This is the goal.
Are more fun facts on Mel Gibson, according to Delisted. He was not drunk on holy water and vodka during his recorded rants. TMZ sources claim Mel was not under the influence of anything during his tirade.
Wow.
Oh, dear,
just
that
rage.
Makes it worse.
And the
they
Catholic
say Mel...
Church and weird
Mel has not
had
a sip of the sweet nectar since the sugar gate 2006, so he's just naturally high on the crazy. How about this story? Oh, I don't have time for this story now. It's something he did with the placenta of the baby.
Ooh.
We'll tell that story tomorrow. There's not time for that.
Did he eat it?
No, it's worse than that.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We will tell that story tomorrow along with Face the Grayson with Congressman Alan Grayson. You won't want to miss the big show tomorrow. That's it for Hump Days with Hal. I love you, Hal.
Follow me on Twitter, at Hal Sparks. Love you.
Please. I'd like to thank Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. And Elizabeth Perkins.